Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and you're listening to the Affair Recovery Library call and EMS call. It's November the 25th, the week of Thanksgiving 2013, and I want to welcome everybody today. So we have three or four questions today. Let's get started. Trying not to feel hopeless. My significant other, not married yet, is the hurt one. It's been 6 months since our D-Day, and since then we've agreed to try to move forward with our relationship. I'm making myself as safe as I can, always checking up with him, empathizing with his pain, surrounding myself with only good people that we trust, making myself transparent, and showing him what a true loving human being I am who made horrible mistakes over the course of a month. He has gotten so much better at controlling his emotional flooding, anger, sadness, but still deals with triggers day in and day out. What was an almost daily anger response to the situation is tapered, but still manages to rear its head, which I know and expect. I try not to pressure him into any sort of forgiveness or healing. Unfortunately, all of this is at a time when I'm in the process of moving in with him. While we agree our decision was to move forward together, he still can't help but get angry at being wronged, that I put him there and made him like this. He gets to the point of emotional abuse and sometimes tells me that he can't be with someone so much better. I try my best to heed all of your advice in your library and to show as much understanding as I can. He refuses to see a counselor or do EMS online. He doesn't want to have to rehash everything. I occasionally send him articles, but he gets annoyed. There are good days and there are bad days. He knows what decisions he needs to make and what he has to do in terms of acceptance, but it just angers him that he's had to face all of this to begin with. I'm afraid that without proper help, or emotional healing, the rest of our lives together will always be like this cycle, especially since it's already been 6 months. I appreciate your question. I certainly wouldn't feel hopeless, however, in a situation like this. We normally say it's going to take 18 to 24 months. Hopefully at some point, he's going to be willing to face it. I know it's really frightening, and I see that a lot of times. It's almost like if you close your hand in a car door, there's this fear of looking at your hand, afraid that maybe, you know, you've severed your fingers or you've broken your fingers. So it's just a fear factor to look at it. But hopefully at some point he can agree that what you're doing isn't working that well. I've had couples that it's taken up to a year before someone in his position will sit there and say, okay, I've got to do something because I know this is still making me miserable, and excuse me, I don't want it to make me miserable anymore. So I'm hoping that maybe as time goes on, he'll do something different. I would continue trying at times to send him information and tell him you're not certainly not trying to mess him up or to make him angry, but you would very much like to work with him in healing and expediting the two of you growing together. And the analogy, and you've probably heard me use it before, that I frequently use with people is that, you know, if someone's driving a car, if I'm driving my car and I'm texting and I have a wreck and break both of my wife's legs, it's not fair, but she may have to go to physical therapy just to be able to walk again. And she certainly didn't cause the problem, but if she wants to be healthy, she still has to do that work because of my carelessness. Hopefully that's something he can understand and will agree to do the work so that the two of you can have a full life. I know that that's a difficult thing probably for him, I just hope at some point he'll consider doing that. And you might try that analogy with him. It may or may not work. But in terms of feeling hopeless, don't feel hopeless yet. In fact, what research would show is he'll probably get a little better between now and a year. He'll probably get worse at a year and then begin to get better again if you can remain patient and with him. Hopefully he'll eventually move through it. By the way, if that doesn't work, write again in a couple of months and let's see if we can come up with another plan. Just remind me that you've posted a question once before. There's another thing that we can do if things aren't getting better. So next, I think this is in two pieces, so I'm going to start with how to deal with never knowing. I have given up to the fact that I will never get full disclosure from my husband about his two emotional affairs with the same coworker. The first affair was 18 years ago, and he just recently, when I discovered this affair, admitted to me that it was an emotional affair back then, and he was just having the 40-year itch, but no other information was given. The second and most recent affair was discovered almost a year ago, and I've spent the past 11 months trying to get answers from him. All he'll tell me is that he talked and texted too much, and that she listens to him about the country. He has a farm in which I really have no interest, but I do listen to him from time to time. He will answer no other questions about his emotional affair and constantly evades the questions by getting angry, abusive, or turning it back on me. My question is, how do I let go of the need to know? It is eating me alive that he won't give me real answers, and I'm to the point that I just don't want to talk to him at all. How can I let go of these questions that are haunting me to the point of anger, tears, and thoughts of divorce? Because I feel if he wanted this marriage to work, he would be willing to answer any question I need answered. And after this amount of time, how will I know for sure that he's even telling the truth? My second question is about abuse. He got extremely verbally abusive and sometimes physically. He spit in my face, shoved me down, pulled his fist back, just to name a few things, when I continued to ask questions about his emotional affair. Is this a normal reaction? Does this mean he's still with his AP, or is he detoxing from her? I have moved out of the house because of the abuse, but I don't know if I'll ever feel safe enough to go home again. I don't know how to believe him if he says he won't be abusive or go back to her. So how does one deal with these situations? I'm at a crossroads now, not wanting a divorce, but afraid I may have to get one to keep my own self-respect and feel safe. What are your thoughts on this? And then she adds, in the above question, I forgot to mention that we attended the November EMS weekend. I know you might have covered some of what I'm asking, but sometimes I think I have adult ADD and things don't stick in my brain as they ought. Wow. Typically when someone refuses to talk about an emotional affair, it's due to the fact, or any affair, a lot of times it's due to the fact of shame, and they may feel they've even answered some of the questions. I don't know. I was talking to a gentleman this morning that we're dealing with his anger. Because of her questions, he gets really angry and creates huge scenes and ends up being verbally abusive also. And so frequently that's a shame piece. Why he won't answer questions, I'm not sure. Hopefully, over time, he's going to come to the place of recognizing the need to be able to talk about some of those things. I'm not sure. I guess on the first question, how do you get full disclosure? Obviously, there may be things from 18 years ago that he doesn't remember. In the current one that happened a year ago, I wonder if he, in his own mind, so justified the affair that he's not really seeing it for what it is. Obviously, if he's getting that angry, it's not safe to continue pressing the questions, because I certainly don't advise getting hurt. And I'm sorry to hear that you're separated, but I certainly understand why you have separated. It would seem that hopefully you could get a therapist that could sit down with you and maybe have him write out the story of the affairs. Normally, the way I like disclosure to go is to have someone write the history, and so that they can talk about it in its kind of entire, not answering questions, but telling the story, and that seems to work pretty good. He needs to get help on your second question with the verbal abuse and the emotional abuse. He's got to be able to be safe and figure out why he's even responding as he responds. I hate that you've been married this long and he's struggling like this, but you need to, he needs to be working on the anger if it's going to be safe enough for the two of you to be together. Hopefully you guys have a therapist who can help him tell the story, or at least with someone he can tell the story to and find a way to communicate that to you. That would be, I guess, maybe my first recommendation. He may need help telling the story. He may not even fully understand the story. But I can understand that inability to communicate with you, why it makes you feel that you're not important. My other concern with that is stonewalling, which is the series we're talking about right now in the newsletters, is so incredibly painful and difficult to deal with. And in itself, you know, certainly is it blocks any ability to come back together. And I'm not sure why he's stonewalling, but please, if he's not seeing a therapist, which I hope he is, I would see if he couldn't at least see a therapist to see if he can tell the story. That to me would be awfully important. And then have a third party present when he tells the story in order to protect you. And then get help to figure out what to do with the anger. Just like the gentleman I was working with earlier today, I mean, our main focus right now is his anger management, because he recognizes he's out of control and he wants to do something about it. And hopefully your husband's motivated to want to change. One of the things I would look in terms of just finding hope is, you know, his heart soft? Does he want to do it different? And as long as you can tell that he really would like for things to be different, there really is still hope. We just need to find a pathway for that to occur. One book, if he's willing to read something, is Men and Anger, which is a really good anger management book. He can find it on Amazon, and if he would like help, he can read through that. So I hope that helps a little bit. And then the final question, forgiveness. How do I forgive myself? My discovery day was over 4 months ago. I repented of my sins and sought forgiveness from God and my wife. When I was acting out on a regular basis, I confessed in silent prayer daily of my unfaithfulness and unfaithfulness, and thanked God for his faithfulness to forgive my sins and cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Looking back, sincerity may have been lacking, but the ritual was consistent. I find myself still confessing my unfaithfulness, however. I have been sexually sober and faithful since discovery. Why do I still feel the need to confess when I have been faithful daily since that time period? Maybe I haven't forgiven myself. How do I do that? What a great question. One of the things that, you know, as I listened to your question there, I think believing you're forgiven, knowing you're forgiven is an important piece, but there's also a piece that's healthy. C.S. Lewis says that all saints need to keep one nostril keenly attuned to their own inner cesspool. Because understanding what you are apart from that higher power, apart from God, ultimately remembering is what keeps you on the path. But it's not a sense of living in shame and guilt. When we accept forgiveness for ourselves, we don't live in shame and guilt. What we live in is a profound understanding of the love of God. That, you know, the more I recognize how lousy I was, how low I sank, the more I'm able to understand the depth of God's love for me. It's how Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, you know, Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst, but it's for that reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the chief of sinners, he could display his unlimited patience as an example for anybody else who would want to believe on him and receive eternal life. And maybe instead of confessing, what I would do is acknowledge daily what you were, and then focus and just be grateful for the forgiveness that you received and for the new life that you've been given. And to me, it's a matter of accepting that you being messed up, you having done that, that was your best effort. And the fact that there's a God who was willing to make it so that, you know, every sex addict, every, you know, hurt spouse, every Hindu, every Muslim, every moralist, every legalist, every atheist, every agnostic, you know, God made it so that all of us could have equal access to him without getting it right. And that's an amazing gift. So focus on the gift you've been given and thank God, and then use your knowledge of how far you fell basically as a point of understanding the depth of God's love and grace and how fortunate you are. And when you look at it from that perspective, I think you'll begin to find, you know, it's not having to confess over and over again. It's acknowledging and saying, wow, but your love is amazing. Because it's only in light, I think, of my own depravity that I begin to understand the depth of God's love for me. And you're a fortunate man indeed. You really are. Especially if you recognize that you've received that forgiveness. So accept it and be grateful. And use it as a way of understanding the mercy and the grace and the love you've received. Hopefully that will help a little bit. So that's all of our questions for the day. I want to thank everybody for joining the call. And truly, I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. And I look forward to talking to you guys next week. The healing.